Hey, Dave Hodges here. Welcome back. Glad you're with us here. We promised you part two on the Doug and Dave Intel Report. Doug Thornton from America Vindicta, myself from the CommonSenseShow.com. And together we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report on the Common Sense Show. And we said we couldn't cover it all, but we're going to start. We're going to go back to Maui. Yes, we're going to hit that, as we said, because we did not close ranks on that. But we are going to start with Trump, and I think we'll go in reverse order, a little bit with civil war. But I'll say this to start with, and we don't need to spend any time talking about it. You need to hear me and hear me clearly. The sources are irrefutable. Canadian bank bought a Colorado bank, and they're imposing central bank digital currency after Labor Day. This is confirmed. There are people that are upset that are moving their money. Nothing in the news about this, but I've talked to a principal. So you need to hear what I'm saying, folks. They're sneaking it in this instance, through a Canadian bank, and they've started the process. They've already completed the Fed coin. So when you say that'll never happen and we won't have central bank digital currency, well, maybe we can stop them. But the bottom line is they've started. All right. Doug, Trump is in the process of being arraigned at the time that this is airing. Okay. So by the time you all hear it, depending on what station plays this at what time, Trump will have already been arraigned or is in the process. So we're going to talk about it like it's a future event. So, Doug, your take on the indictment, what's going to happen, and how you view this.
So I can't believe what I'm about to read to you, but off the Epoch Times, Trump will be treated as a common prisoner, says Fulton County Sheriff.
Yeah, amazing.
So the Fulton County Sheriff said that Donald Trump will be treated like local inmates during the booking process with no special accommodations, according to the former U.S. president. He said, if you're indicted, then we're going to treat you as though you're indicted here locally. And so we'll consider you to do fingerprints, mugshots, etc., said Sheriff Patrick Labatt to CNN, of course. Charles Rambo, a retired lieutenant of the sheriff's office, said to the media outlet that once inside, they would be pat down, led to the booking office in the rear. From there, they'd probably have to have ties and shoestrings and all those types of things taken. Then from there, the persons would be fingerprinted. Now, I worked at the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department as a correctional officer while I was going through the deputy program. I ended up not going through the deputy program or finishing it because I got recruited for private contracting and went back overseas because it made a little bit more money. And so I've been through this whole process. I've worked booking on all those heavy moon nights, the Friday nights. And in my mind, Dave, for you to put a person who's running for president, and also not only that, but a former president with a Secret Service detail, and where's the Secret Service agents going to be at?
Well, that was my question, standing, Doug. Doug, that's my question. Standing, they're not going to let him be manhandled, right?
You can't put Trump in general population. Trump would have to be in a special housing unit. Secret Service agents would have to be posted outside. I don't even know how that shift would be. And I mean, this is, are we really talking about this? This is really about to happen, and we're about to let this happen. You know, where is the Supreme Court?
Where are the Republicans in Congress?
Oh, well, this is what they want to happen to him. Of course. I've never seen something so politically wrong. Like this is what I expect Vladimir Putin to do in Moscow. In fact, this is what Vladimir Putin would do in Moscow. Xi Jinping had the guy that he was running against arrested. So this is what we're talking about that's happening now. I mean, this is a communist move. Without a shadow of a doubt. And so everyone who was at the debate tonight, I didn't watch it. I'm going to bite my tongue, Dave, because I don't have very good many things to say about anyone who was there, except for maybe Ramaswamy. I hope I pronounced his name correctly.
We all
he's
do.
He's a bright young man, and I wish him the best in what he's doing. And he's the type of person that we need in the White House, along with Rick Scott.
Tim Scott?
Or Tim Scott, yeah. That's another guy that, you know, we need in the White House.
What do you think about DeSantis? Because I thought DeSantis was number one in the debate.
So I've liked DeSantis. I've liked his posture as a Florida governor. I think he's a little soft. I think he's a little soft-spoken politically. I could care less for the banter back and forth between him and Trump. We've already expressed my opinions on that. Yeah. It's wasting the American public's time for their own greed. But he's also very well liked by the New World Order. And that's concerning. He said that, you know, one of his mentors, the men that he looked up to, was George Herbert Walker Bush. That's not a good thing.
That's a problem. Yeah.
That's a problem. Some people have a problem that he's a Catholic.
That's
he's
ridiculous.
A Roman Catholic.
Yeah, they're into the Jesuit aspect, probably. Yeah. Okay. Let's back away from the debate, because I got to say this, it was largely meaningless.
That's what I figure.
Chris Christie embarrassed himself. Asa Hutchinson showed himself to be just a buffoon and a total globalist. And Nikki Haley is a consummate globalist, and she's in the pockets of Raytheon and the military industrial complex. So that's why she loves Ukraine so much, because that's where her money's coming from. Tim Scott, Ramaswamy, DeSantis, we're fine. The rest of them were a waste of time. The North Dakota governor name jumps out of my head. Let me say this about him. He wasn't bad in terms of his coverage on the issues. But let me say this. North Dakota is one of those eight states I've talked about where carbon capture teams going in under the order of a Democratic judge, digging 90-foot trenches on farmland, disrupting agricultural activities with the chemicals they use, endangering water supply, damaging leach fields, and getting too close to a house, and then toxic leaks that have happened. And they're right in the middle of this agriculture. And the North Dakota governor is doing nothing. In fact, South Dakota, too. Everyone thinks the lovely governor, the pretty little lady, the governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, oh, she's so great. She should be running for president. You know what she told the farmers? And I got this from their lobbyist. She told the farmers, I can't solve all your problems. I mean, this is egregious Fifth Amendment violation of property rights that's going on in these eight states, and it's not getting any coverage. We're going to, once Maui kind of clears, and we're not covering it every day, I'm going to spend some time on this issue. This is really bad. And so these governors, that North Dakota governor in the debate, I know who you are, and I know you're just full of crap. And Kristi Noem is full of crap. So anyway, the debates were largely a waste of time. Let's move away from them. Going in reverse order, civil war on our way to Maui. The mainstream media, I'm seeing a proliferation of articles. I read one, Doug, 3 days ago that said, there'll never be a civil war because there's not geographic boundaries. And they're trying to recreate, you know, the Mason-Dixon line as a dividing aspect. You don't have that. Well, neither did Bosnia. Bosnia didn't have a front line either. And so that it's so ridiculous. And then this publication, 1945, and they're all in all these distribution news services. And they came out and says, yeah, there's going to be a civil war. It'll be red versus blue. And I'm thinking, well, okay, there'll be a big blue contingent. There'll be a small red contingent because most of the red is now uniparty siding with the Democrats. I mean, what a ridiculous issue that is in terms of saying this is how the civil war is going to occur. These people, these reporters are just dumber than a box of rocks. They couldn't pour piss out of a boot. So, Doug, I want to prevail upon you. Do you think there could be a civil war? And I'm saying possibility, not probability. And if so, what would you see as a likely scenario leading up to it with the forces involved?
It's not a win. It's not a win. When will that civil war be? I think 2023-2024 is the best time to be looking for the second shots heard around the world here in America. And Joe Biden is the perfect patsy. Kamala Harris, the perfect patsy. We literally put two incompetent idiots. It's like the movie Idiocracy, you know, with President Camacho. We literally got an idiot as the president who's just stirring the pot, kicking the hornet's nest. And, you know, everybody's ready for whenever America declares war upon itself. So I see that happening potentially within a year. That's not hyperbole.
Okay. So we got a time, you got a time frame?
Theoretical. Yeah.
What's going to get this going? What are the forces that are going to be involved?
Lockdowns, banking failing crisis, and it could be a staged crisis. Let me see. Any type of cyber attack upon the grid, that can cause it. And for these people, these reporters who don't know anything, talking about the dividing Mason-Dixon line, your dividing lines is called your hood right now in America. You go to two different hoods, and you got a dividing line between gangs. You got dividing lines from counties. You got a blue county versus a green versus a red county. I mean, just look at the breakaway counties that are in Colorado and Oregon trying to join Idaho. And also, you know, Northern California. So you got real geographic problems when it comes to societies. And it's not only that, but like I said earlier, we're in the right frame of mind to hate each other, without any more need of excuses, to kill each other without any more need of excuses. There's no love lost between Republicans and Democrats anymore. If anything, Republicans is already a corrupted word. The Christian conservative base is becoming more base and trying to separate itself from the rest of society, while the lovers of self, the lovers of sin, which is wholeheartedly the left and the better half of the Republican Party, have embraced this madness that you see lurking around the schools. It's affecting the way that we do work here in America. It's affecting how we do work internationally with the whole trans rights and all this stuff. Not only that, but our economics is completely upside down. Our military is weaker than it's ever been. We have less faith in the American dollar than there has ever been, less faith in the American future than there has ever been. And we are provocating wars in probably a dozen different countries right now that you can't name. And at least two of them rhymes with Russia and China. So it's a good pot to mix a bunch of crap into and to see what it is that affects us first. That's kind of hard to say, but I will say this. If the banking implodes, crisis in America will increase. If lockdowns start, crisis in America will increase. And all you need for rebellion is just a gentle push. That's really all you need. You need to have the dividing lines. So the Republicans versus Democrats, you versus me. You need societal differences that are vastly different from the previous generation. That's already here. And this current generation that we're living in has lost its freaking mind. And so you have this already set in place division in America. And I mean, since Obama became in office, people have been talking about a rebellion, civil war. The government's been practicing rebellion, practicing how to deal with rebellions and civil wars. And I think everybody's just ready for it to happen. It really comes down to this: who shoots the first shot? The Democrats and many of the Republicans will tell you that the first shot, which was a trigger never pulled, was January 6th. Those of us in law enforcement and those of us with eyes to see and ears to hear would say that the first shot was 2020 with Black Lives Matter and allowing almost every major city in America to be set on fire with no reprisal from law enforcement and more or less just let scot-free by the Department of Justice. So from 2020 to 2024, all right, it's 2023 currently, but from 2020 to 2024, you have seen an escalation in political reprisals from the Biden government. You have seen a rising inflation of the dollar. You've seen a rising inflation on food, the rising inflation on fuel. There's, you know, every other week there's a new crisis. There has been no reprieve and no crisis. We've almost started nuclear war a couple times with Russia, with our actions in Ukraine. So there hasn't been a week. There hasn't been a week in my mind since 2020 when people haven't gathered together in a group and said, is this the week? Is you know, does World War III start now? Does the Civil War start now? And, you know, now we got the elections coming up. If Donald Trump is arraigned, is indicted, is arrested, and then, you know, found to be a felon, and they finally decide to enforce a law in D.C. and say that he is ineligible of running for president, add that into the mix. You got MAGA country. He's probably going to come alive in the streets. And unlike Black Lives Matter and Antifa, when MAGA country takes to the streets and quietly protests, you're going to have agent provocateurs who are going to set stuff on fire. They're going to show up, and that will be used against the greater half of people. And once again, it drives more division between the people and the government, and there really wasn't ever a need to have more because we're already at a level of division in the government that is almost equal to Lincoln's government in our government now with Biden. So hopefully you guys have been able to keep in track with my train of thought. That's where I'm at.
Well, okay, listen, I think you gave a lot of the variables that are associated. I'll ask you to rank order them in a minute. But what we didn't hit on are what will the organizational structure of the rebellion be? Who will actually be involved?
Everybody. Everybody that wants to be involved will be involved. You'll have more rebellions locally than you will have nationally. Rebellions will only go typically as far as your gas tank and the person driving the car is willing comfortably to go to. So let's say you live, it's declared that there's a national emergency and there's a civil war going on. There's an insurrection is happening. And then people say, well, if it's happening in all these other states, time for us to take out the garbage in our town. Let's go gather and protest in all of our cool guy gear and demand that, you know, our mayor step down and our sheriff step down. Well, then you'll have the authorities come out and they'll either decide to stand with you or against you or half and half. And what this does, Dave, is you continue to put people into the corner and you're making them make the decision. You're making people be forced to make a decision. You know, 90% of America will sit at home and not do anything. 5% will probably show up to overthrow the government, while the other 5%, which is the government response, will show up to try and stop the rebellion. But everybody else will be going to work. They'll be doing the same things they always do until it gets kinetic. And when it gets when it gets kinetic, that's when everything is on the table. I'll bring up Kigali principles. Once it's on the table and everything goes kinetic, which means once shots get fired, cops die, military dies, the rebellious movement is being attacked, and then you just have, you know, horrific urban warfare. Me thinks China comes in.
I think it won't be China by itself.
Oh, no.
It'll be, the, as you said, the Kigali principles. And for people who don't know, UN. It'll be the UN. 28 nations can come in at the request of government leadership to bring order. They can come during a pandemic. It's a whole variety of things.
They'll probably bring in Ukraine as well, because Ukraine has been brought in by Stoltenberg, the head of NATO.
Yeah, that's crazy.
To help thwart the rebellion going on in France.
Yeah, that was nuts. Okay, so local, and it spreads, and then you have the UN coming in. Okay. And you think it's just basically grassroots Joe that's pissed. I think the number one issue is going to be, it won't be Trump. It won't be these political issues. It'll be human beings backed into a corner faced with survival. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be food.
CBDC. All these things will lie. Hey, if you, let's say, in order to have, to regain order of Phoenix, Arizona, I, Doug Thornton, hereby declare that we are cutting the power to everything. And if you want to be a part of the freer America, then you want to come to my lovely FEMA zone where there's power and there's food and there's electricity for you to have a hot shower, place for your kids. We got a bunk for you and your family, and I'll do all the leaflet drops over your city. Just you can't bring your guns or your animals, but come on in.
FEMA camp.
You know how many people will take that choice?
Enough. Yeah, they'll go the path of least resistance. Promise some food, and they'll
probably
change.
The leftists.
Yeah.
Are you? Well, we got dresses for all the men. We got timber, work boots for all the women. Tractor Supply is going to help sponsor the women to look like men, and JCPenney's brought dresses for all the men to look like women. It's such a paradox to think about how close we are, jokingly though, how close we are to this being manifest reality. It's strange to me. I would never think in my lifetime, probably you or in your lifetime, that we would ever see this happen, but it's happening.
Yeah, I want to read this to you. Have you heard of the EATS Act, Senate Bill 1488? I think it's 1144 in the House. Have you heard of this?
EATS?
EATS, EATS Act of 2023. Haven't heard of that?
EATS Act protects agricultural producers by prohibiting state and local regulations that could create trade barriers for U.S. ag products, says Kansas Corn Growers Association.
Yeah, here's what it says. And you're right about the Kansas farm growers. I read that too. Here's an analysis I have from the Animal Legal Defense Fund, not even farming. They say the EATS Act would undermine state farmed animal protection laws. Now, if you're wondering why I'm bringing this up, ladies and gentlemen, every dictator that thinks they got to lock the people down to maintain control will start with food. And this is why I pick food. And here's a brief summary. The EATS Act would take away the ability for the state to enact laws affecting agricultural practices. So in other words, whatever Biden wants to do with farming, they can do. And let me give you an example of what this sets the stage for. If you know what happened in the Netherlands, cows fart too much, so we've got to take cows away from you. And now we got to take farms away from you because they're not carbon neutral. That's what this is about. This is all about climate change nonsense. This bill was last talked about on July 17th, 2023, but it's an active bill. It's a $1.5 trillion bill. This should raise concern, but it takes the total control of farming, Doug, and it puts it under the Department of Agriculture. And they call, here's how they got the name. It's called Ending Agricultural Trade Suppression. In other words, you'll lose all local control over farming. It'll all be federally mandated. This is what they did in the Soviet Union in their five-year plans. They collectivized the farms, the states controlled it, and it was a disaster. A lot of people starved to death.
Well, the Nazis had a four-year plan to go with the thousand-year Reich. What I'm reading here is that it is the student here's one of them, student eligibility under Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Let me see. This is to amend the Food and Nutrition Act of 2008 to remove certain eligibility disqualifications that restrict otherwise eligible students from participating in other programs. So this one's talking about students.
Yeah, let me give you another aspect of this too. This is why the animal rights people are involved. There's a group called Animal Equity Equality that's also involved. They can order the slaughter of cows to keep a balance of methane pollution with regard to climate change. That's what this is about, folks. It's about disguised climate change. And I'm looking through the bill here. There's not one shred of research that's offered. But here's why I bring this up. Food will be the controlling mechanism for a regime that will lose control of the people. And the reason that they want to have CBDC, among other things, is if you misbehave, we'll just take your food away from you. And there won't be any black market because all the farms will be controlled by the federal government. That's where this is going. This is pretty scary stuff, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is.
So anyway, so I don't know. Do you agree with me that food will be the primary driver to violence?
Always one of them. Food, and electricity. That's it right now.
Yeah. Well, one kind of depends on the other, too, because if the grid is down, food's not getting delivered.
Yeah.
So that they're both related here. So let me bring you to the big question here in a potential civil war. Will we see the military involved outside enforcing the dictates of the government? Will they be part of the rebellion? All right. Let me pose the question this way. Sorry, too broad. In Jade Helm 16, they hired crisis actors that they called, and I'm pretty close to a quote, disaffected ex-military guerrilla chieftains. In other words, people who had been in the military and they stepped aside to support some civilian cause, and they were talking, and this is in Texas where they practice this. They practice suppression of these people. They even practiced interrogation techniques of people they would catch. So tell me, is this was done under the Obama years. This was 2015, I believe. 2016, Jade Helm 2. So tell me, Doug, will the military defect in any meaningful numbers and side with the people?
Some of it. You can't trust that everybody will do that. There's going to come a point in time where everybody in the realm of combat arms, in the military or in law enforcement, is going to have a moral, ethical decision line in the sand that says they can't go any further. They're not leaving their families anymore. It's too dangerous. Or we don't believe in the government, so we're not doing this. But we also believe in our military, so we're going to remain neutral. And for all those who remain neutral, you'll either be found to be a traitor or you'll be pressured to go into the other side because you were found to be a traitor, and they'll try and kill you.
There you go. I agree with that. Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. What you're describing is what happened in Katrina, where the police walked off the job on about the third day, the breakdown of services.
Yeah. It's not a good scenario. It's not a good scenario. What would unite people would be an invasion. So if you look at it in these directions, how do I unite everybody for a common cause and take advantage of it, an invasion? Or how do I disrupt everybody and have them all kill each other? But if that happens, then we have to go live underground. And I hope that those who are protecting us are really on our side so that we don't have to worry about them turning on us. That's what a politician, these wealthy mogul elites, that's what they'll have to be worrying about. So there then would be probably set aside military personnel, I would guess, that are on the up and up of what's coming, when we'll be made aware and ready before the lockdowns, the shutdowns, the martial law, whatever you want to call it. Because you couldn't take the average soldier, say the Marine Airman or Coastie, and, you know, just say, oh, hey, by the way, today we're going to go disarm all your neighbors. So jump in the 5-ton or 7-ton. Let's get to work.
Yeah.
The people are too aware of that. Nazi Germany ruined the ability, I believe, for the common person to not ask the question, are we the baddies? We've heard of this before, right? Are we really going to go through with this? And that'll cause dissent. But honestly, I say that it's order out of chaos. I think these bastards want as much chaos as possible to happen.
For the excuse of slaughtering the masses?
Well, why not? Why not? Okay. You know how easy it is to just, you know, let loose some chemical or biological weapons while you have masses of groups of people protesting and fighting and blah, blah, blah. You know, and then blame it on some terrorists, right wing terrorists, Trump MAGA terrorists, even better. We've seen them do this before. We've seen them cover up their tracks, and we've seen them not prosecute themselves. So why could we not see them doing the same thing now? Causing a civil war, taking down the grid, taking out the people that they think are too loose or too tight, and only the people that will follow them get to survive. Everyone else will have, you know, be on the run. But if you do decide to follow the government, you'll have a mark on your hand or your forehead.
Here so, it comes. I knew we'd get there.
Okay. That to me, that's the future.
Yeah.
Skynet wins.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
And then Jesus comes back. Anything else, I think, at this element in time is really, it's up for discussion. These are narratives connected by events. Okay, every narrative like this one, the EATS Act, will be connected by an event. Why would the EATS Act need to happen? Because, well, there's a super COVID virus and it's affecting all the cattle. And damn, we got to kill all the cattle so that you can survive. But don't worry, we've been growing bugs for the last 2 years, and that will replace what you're going to eat in the stores. And old Jeff Bezos and that wormy Bill Gates, they created some fake chicken meat, and they'll be popping that out of the factories in China. And that'll be what she will get closer and closer to Judge Dredd. And that's the American future, man, because if we just lay down and allow it to happen, that will be the direction we go. Dystopia. If we decide not to lay down and not let it happen, then it goes the other route, and we will be in perpetual guerrilla warfare until eventually one side wins.
How about long-term warfare, like what we saw for 36 years in Vietnam?
Yeah. Worse here. You got an entire population of people that are gun fanatics, not just some farmer with his daddy's AK. I mean, gun fanatics. We got people who own tanks. Tanks.
Who owns tanks? I've never heard of this.
There's a few people in Texas who
own tanks. Are you talking about private people that own operating tanks?
Oh, yes. With projectiles. Yeah, there's plenty of people. Tannerite is all over America, at least free America. And for the life of me, I can't believe it is. But Tannerite is more or less your next shape charge that all you got to do is shoot it and you created a claymore out of it. The average citizen has better rifles and pistols than the average police officer. And it's quite a thing in America for people to be proficient with firearms and to be training tactically. You have stuff like airsoft and paintball, and that may be kind of joking, but also with the veteran community and the gun community, people are learning tactics. They're learning small unit leadership, small unit maneuvers. And this will be one of many different reasons why, if somebody wants to have a protracted guerrilla warfare with America, you are in for a world of hurt unless you gas us. The one thing Americans cannot stop, gassing.
That's what the Chinese say they're going to do.
Yep.
Their goal is to occupy America, and they'll rid the population. They don't want cohabitation, and they've said they'll use gas. Okay, if you were to make an estimate, I know the Pentagon's lost. I don't think division commanders and some base commanders are lost at this point in time. Who's going to side with the people, and what percentage do you think it'll be? And let me just preface it by saying this. I've been told a number of times it would take about 7 out of 10 Americans rising up, and then the military would consider creating a counter coup.
The Pentagon's lost.
I agree. They're gone.
So whoever's in charge of submarines, that's going to be a problem. Whoever is in charge of a naval vessel, that's going to be a problem.
A problem for who? You mean the establishment?
Yeah,
okay. For the establishment. That's what I thought you meant. Yeah.
Especially if it's a damn aircraft carrier.
And then also, too, don't forget about the Space Force.
That's right. So we got a lot of variables. And then you have the American people and the American veterans, American law enforcement, which the American people, who outnumbers everybody, the average good old boy American. It doesn't take a lot of guys to have 3 or 4 weeks of training to become quite a big problem for even a well-trained law enforcement department. So, you know, for people, like I said, who been coordinating with each other, the doomsday preppers that Obama was so afraid of, a lot of those people went into the military. A lot of those people are in the military, and a lot of those people are retiring out of the military. So I think wholeheartedly the military, it's almost 70 to 80% on America's side. You know, sure, the Air Force is and Navy's putting out a bunch of drag queen stuff. That's 1% of people. 1% of people. You would almost think that the average person in the military would be conservative, because the military has reflections of conservative values, maybe not generically at the top at the Pentagon level, but the individual, you know, service member does. So I would think that they would fall back on the side of the average American people. But it's this question: how do they get off base and back home? How do they do that? You think people are just going to massively, during a time of, you know, great distress, just leave base?
No.
Bases will be locked down.
They'll rise. Well, let me tell you, Doug, I'm telling you, I know this for a fact. There's at least some base commanders who will not follow Biden's direction if we go to war with China. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that a coup d'etat could be made of.
I mean, And this is where I'll say yes and no. If it was anyone on the East Coast who could rapidly get to DC, sure. But by the time, unless you are in Apaches and Jets, and even Stowe, there's contingencies for hostile aircraft. You're not going to get a mobilized military unit in all their armor and all their gear and all their guns to DC fast enough the bad guy.
Doug, I don't think you have to go to DC for it to be a coup d'etat. The rebellion starts with where the people are. So DC may not be a prize target.
May not.
It could be a waste of time, but you seize a base, you seize a state house, that kind of, that's what I think we're going to do. And they may seize logistical sites like National Guard armories, fuel depots, you know, oil storage. You may see that the coup d'etat won't be centered against the center of government. The coup d'etat is we're going to beef ourselves up, arm ourselves up, and we're going to make seizures within our geographic control.
I think the reality speaking, and this is just my opinion, I think a civil war would last maybe a week or two, and then everything else completely breaks down from there. You're going to have rogue elements who are going to be doing cyber warfare. You're going to have rogue terrorist organizations who are going to be doing assassinations, human trafficking. They're going to be cutting power lines. They'll be setting woods on fire. You're going to have all the elements that we talk about and deal with probably all happening in a cascading event at once. Not to mention, this will also spark fear in the American people. You'll probably have rioting, panicking. Everybody's going to run to Walmart and grab everything that they think they need. I'll probably get to see two grandmas fight over toilet paper again. So, you know, and throw in the lockdowns with that. There's enough out there to freak people out and to turn them into wild animals. That's the whole goal. Do you really need a civil war? Not really. You just need people to freak out enough to take advantage of it. And if a large portion of your military defects and leaves base and is unaccounted for, well, you were accounted for before you left base, and now we know who you are. So when the UN comes in and they find you, you're going to be captured. You're getting brought back in.
I think there's a lot between when the UN comes in and someone leaving the base. I don't think, and you may find individuals leave bases to go home in a crisis, but I think always, these people are going to band together. And there's a big gap there between banding together and saying, screw you to the federal government and the UN arriving. There's a huge gap in there.
What happened at the Mueller building in Oregon when you had all the Patriots and all the 3% or militia groups?
That's not military, though. That's not military.
But even so, they captured one federal building that was really nothing. It was a stupid idea to do this. And, you know, what was done about it? The American people didn't care. A few cared, but overall, it didn't change a heartbeat.
The American people didn't care because they had food and their lives were going on as regular.
So then you need...
If society is disrupted, it's going to be a whole different events. Outlook. Yeah, I agree.
You got to have multiple events. You got to have what we call stressors.
Yeah, and you covered those early on. But do you understand what I'm saying? You have maybe a company commander, a division commander at a base, or a base commander saying, we can't go along with this. And you draw a line in the sand, you do the Alamo, you know, cross the line if you're with me. So you have that group right there. That's a long gap between that organization that's starting as now a rebellious force to bringing in something to oppose them. A long gap, and you don't have to attack DC. Personally, I wrote an article about this, gosh, maybe 12, 15 years ago. Can our M16s defeat their F-16s? And my point was, could a rebellion be successful? My conclusion from looking at this at that time was probably not militarily, but we could disengage from society and have nothing but guerrilla warfare across the board, and it would go on for decades.
I think if DC were to disappear overnight from one nuclear explosion or biological attack, you would have, and the Pentagon was then in charge, then you would have a completely different story. But while DC is intact, people are going to say, well, if this only lasts a day or two, and I act anything untowards, and this doesn't work, then who bails me at Leavenworth? And what about my military career? You're going to have a lot of people stand down and not do nothing until there's a pressure event.
Well, you have to have the wounded animal. You have to have the wounded animal that's cornered effect. The people that are going to rebel, whether they're military or civilian, they're going to feel they're out of options. This country is soft. If there's an option not to rebel, the people are going to take that option. But when people are backed into a corner, when I see things like the EATS Act, the destruction of the food processing plants, the Chinese and Bill Gates buying up all our farmland, governors that won't protect their citizens from these carbon capture vandals that come on their property and destroy it, you're pushing farming into a corner. And you're damaging the food supply. And I'm telling you, I think food's going to be the key. I think there could be other ancillary things, but food is the key. Let me tell you, too, during Jade Helm, I don't know if you knew this or not. I've got the video somewhere on my website. At Camp Grayling, they had an activity where they had American soldiers. You can see the patches of the American flag. And then you had this group that had like a gold black triangle. They weren't Americans by, you could tell. And they were engaged in a war game, and the Americans were taken prisoner. That's what you see in the video. So they were already practicing, not just in Texas, but in Camp Grayling, Michigan. They were practicing for insurrection against the government and the use of foreign troops.
Well, I don't think we're ready, personally.
Yeah, the government is.
They absolutely are, and we're
FM, so divided. FM 39.4, they've gone as far to say we'll bring in foreign people and train them to run the FEMA camps.
We are so divided as a nation. We just refuse to stand together.
Could it be a case of dog eat dog, and it's just total Antifa riot chaos style across the country with no organized rebellion? That's what I'm saying.
Some places, I think anywhere around a military base is going to have some pretty good law and order. I think sheriffs and certain police departments are going to have some pretty strong ideas of law and order, along with the civilian populace and the posses that'll come up. And then you're going to have roving gangs of cannibals, criminals. All right.
Doug, we got 4 minutes left. Tell the people, if you were in charge of a DHS team sent in to find out what happened on Maui, give me the three top things you would look at.
Well, the first thing would be to get as many witness testimonies as possible from anyone within that residential area of Lahaina. And then from there, I would be having the fire marshals combing that entire area to try and find any type of incendiary actions.
Okay.
Anything that could have caused the fire. From there, if I had the ability and the homes weren't destroyed, I would be looking through any type of CCTV footage, any type of personal home security footage that was available to me to see if anyone had captured anything.
What would you be looking for on that footage?
Power lines breaking down, people throwing incendiary devices out into fields. Yeah, stuff like that. Look, I know people are getting really caught up in, the dues, the weapons from space and all this, but there's a human element here. Someone made the decision to do what is happening, and someone made the decision to not respond properly. And it would be my goal to see justice done on both of those.
Okay. We clearly can see there was forethought of malice after the fact, stealing property from the people. We clearly see that. And criminal negligence not to help people survive. I mean, I think that's, do you agree that's a given?
Yeah.
Okay. But how about pre-planning on the front end? What would you say to that?
It takes some time to investigate that and to prove it. But right off the bat, I mean, with all the WEO stuff, with all the 15-minute city stuff, you got evidence there already that there was, you know, probable cause for what was happening. As we would say, there's criminal activity afoot. You got elements of a crime already established in front of you. It's just from there, you know, proving it without a shadow of a doubt. That's the proper way to do it.
Okay. I think that's very, very, I would just say it this way. I think your comment there is very valid, that we need time to unfold this. Yeah, when you look for, this is probably the only time we have left to answer this one question, but if you're looking for a directed energy weapon, besides the extreme temperatures we already know happened, 2,550 degrees versus less than 1,500 degrees for a fire. Okay, so we know the fire burned a lot hotter in Lahaina than was expected to be found. What would you look for to indicate directed energy weapons besides the extreme temperatures?
There would have to be a point of origin somewhere where the device struck the ground.
Okay, there's a guy that claims he had that, and I saw the videos today, and now they've taken him down. But this guy, I said his name on my report on YouTube, it jumps out of my head. But he launched a drone to go over what was believed to be the point of origin, and the feds showed up at his house.
Yeah, amazing.
That kind of speaks to the cover-up, doesn't it?
You got to take in the totality of the circumstances. You got to take in all the data points, all the evidence, all the witness testimony, and just it's a collection nightmare that could take months to process. And meanwhile, while those months it'll take to process everything, you know, God knows what the local government will be doing. So,
do you know if this is an orchestrated attack? And it looks like it is. But do you know what this says, Doug? My conclusion, let's compare conclusions before we go. My conclusion is that the forces of government, in this case, state, county, local, with federal support, the forces of government serve the whims of global corporations and the elite personalities who are very wealthy. That's my conclusion if this is a pre-planned event.
Yeah, sure. I could agree with that. But also, someone didn't do their job, and then some people refused to do their job correctly, and they need to be held accountable.
Oh, well, okay. Even if there wasn't pre-planning, don't you think there is a case that could be made? No sirens, no water turned on to fight the fire.
People who didn't do their jobs.
Doug, you're ex-law enforcement. Is this criminal negligence?
It would be.
Does it cross over into manslaughter?
Oh, absolutely. It could be. I mean, that's from there. That's the prosecutors and, you know, what the courts would decide.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave it right here, ladies and gentlemen. I think you can tell the people who've looked at this case a lot, Doug and myself and Doug's law enforcement experience, we pretty well tell you where we think this stands. And this was a horrendous abuse of public of trust towards the people. And they wanted as many dead, that's my conclusion, as possible, given the fact they blocked the exits and all the other things we've said. This is a horrific event. And it shows the totality of evil that exists within our government now. This government, you know, Doug, I'm to the point where I'm saying I withdraw my consent to be governed by these people. I read that 17% of Republicans have no faith in the justice system. How bad is that? I mean, that's just terrible. My friend, we're out of time. American Vindicta is where you go to find Doug, and he's on Rumble and YouTube and Global Star Radio Network. And I'm the Common Sense Show, and you know where to find me. And this has been the Doug and Dave Intel Report. Doug, thanks for your time at this late hour.